We'll probably spend a couple of weeks on this. And I'm just going to entitle it Kindness. It says here in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Now, if you were to look at the context of Ephesians 4, you would find that the chapter deals chiefly with the responsibility of the members of the Ephesian church to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He starts off the chapter by saying, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This unity and peace may only be achieved in a body, in a hall, in a workplace, really wherever you operate, if we actually apply the verses in verse 29 through chapter 5, verse 2. Think about this. Unity and peace will be achieved when we are diligently carrying out these particular attitudes. And I believe they all can be summed up, if you would, about being kind one to another. Kindness. If you're kind, you're not going to let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Rather, the way that you speak, it will be to try to build up, to encourage, to help, to bless other people. If you are really kind in your disposition, in your attitude, in your way of life, then you are not going to be so apt to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because you will have the mind of Christ. You'll have a disposition that, I mean, you can't ask for anybody more kind, more gentle, more gracious, more compassionate than the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly the sins that He enumerates in verse 31, none of those things are polar opposites of kindness. You're not going to be walking in kindness. You're not going to be practicing kindness if your heart's filled with bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. He says, put all those things away from you. Because really they are polar opposites. They are mutually exclusive of a kind and gracious attitude. Also, he says in verse 32, he says, be kind one to another. And look at some of the characteristics that he says here. Kindness is followed by being tender-hearted. by having a forgiving spirit toward those who may have offended you or may have done something that rubbed you the wrong way. Forgiving one another on what basis? Just because it's the right thing to do? No. The basis is the one that we follow, the one that we love, the one that we have professed our fidelity, our loyalty, is Jesus Christ. And it says that's why we're to be kind one to another. That's why we're to be tender, because we're to be like Him. Even as He forgave us, we're to forgive others. And then, if you're going to follow God, if you're going to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus, if you're going to walk in love, this disposition, this attitude of kindness has to be prevalent. It has to be worked out in our lives. Now, we've got to nourish this character trait. We've got to follow the example that's set before us by God and by His Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ought to desire to follow Him and be more like Him in every way. And that phrase at the end of 32, verse 32, is really, you got to have that in order to get this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, one thing that is sadly lacking in the secular world, certainly the political world, social media, which now, that's a big part of American life. Even though it's something that has just come on in, what, the last 10 years? Yet it's something that affects nearly everybody. And the sad thing is, you don't see much kindness in our world. You don't see people being kind one to another. You don't see people with an attitude of forgiveness. There's way too much vengeance and hatred and bitterness and cruelty and violence and crass speech. There's no courtesy. There's no desire to be a blessing to other people. That's in our secular world. It's on social media. It's in our politics. And sadly, but very true, it's a lot, in a lot of churches they have problems. Because people talk down to one another. They're condescending. They're critical. They're hateful. They are judgmental and mean-spirited. Now, I believe that there are times we need timely rebukes. I tell you what, they ought to be given in a spirit of kindness and love. And that is missing in our culture. It's missing in our homes. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That means you're going to show kindness to your wife. You're going to be deferential to her in the way that you speak. You're going to think about her feelings. Because whether you realize it, I know you all realize it, our world wants to think that there are no differences between men and women. There are a ton of differences. And a lot of what women deal with is emotion and how you treat them and how you speak to them, how you look at them. I mean, and I think we've got to be aware of that. You're to dwell together with your wife according to knowledge. And I believe a lot of that has to do with showing kindness. The same is true with the wife to her husband. You got to teach your children to be kind. Because by nature, they're not. I mean, I just spent... you talk about a concentrated time. We had two rooms and eight people living in them, and four grandkids and four adults. And me and Josh were the only men. And then Gavin, which, you know, well, he won't be long before he'll be a young man. But that's a lot of women in eight, you know, put together like that. And I'll tell you what, my youngest granddaughter, she is the cutest kid you will ever want to see. But she is a masterpiece of human depravity. I mean, you really gotta deal with her. And I listen the way that she interacted with her sister, the way she talked to people. And there were times she wasn't very kind. And I told her, I said, you know, your mother isn't like that. Your sister's not like that. I preached to them today on the way home. Well, I tell you, the best time to preach to kids is after you've done everything for them. You know, make them feel really guilty. And make them think about what they're doing. And I could tell it was starting to register with Emma. But kindness is something that has to be learned. We don't have it naturally. It is something that has, and I really believe in the Christian realm, it has to be given and nurtured by the power of the Spirit of God and our discipline by crucifying our tendency to be mean and hateful and bitter. Now, it's missing in our world. Kindness, though, should characterize the internal disposition of the heart as well as the external actions of everyone who claims to be a Christian. You know, there are a lot of people that go out of church on Sunday and they go to work on Monday. And people, they don't see any kindness out of that individual. And they think in their mind, he says he's a Christian. She says she's a Christian. There's not any measure of kindness or humility or grace or compassion about them. So I believe it's something we need to focus on. There is a serious spiritual problem if this attitude, this character trait of kindness is not evident in the life of God's children. You and I, if we are not practicing this, we have a serious spiritual deficiency. Because this ought to be normal for the Christian to walk in kindness. Now, tonight what I want to do is define what kindness is. Kindness is a good or benevolent nature or disposition as a person. That person whose actions proceed from a spirit of benevolence. Now, this is interesting to me. I did a study on the fruit of the Spirit. And the word kind there in verse 32 is the very same word that's translated gentleness in Galatians 5:22. And it gives you the idea of being manageable. This kind, gentle, gracious spirit. To be marked by benevolence. Now think about that. Or is your attitude, is it manageable by the Spirit of God? Does He direct you? I guarantee you, when you're being harsh and mean and wicked,
The Spirit of God's not leading you to do that. That's your old nature. You're grieving the Spirit of God when you're like that. When you talk to your children that way. When you talk to your grandchildren that way. When you talk to your wife or your husband or people out in the workplace. That's not God leading you to do that. That's your old fleshly nature. John Gill said this. He defined kindness as this. Good, affable, courteous, which appears in looks, words, and actions. By looking pleasantly on each other, speaking kindly to one another, and mutually doing every good office that lies in their way and in their power. And that is a mouthful. I'm going to say it again. John Gill, the Baptist expositor, commenting on this verse, said, kindness is good, affable, courteous, which appears in looks, words, and actions. By looking pleasantly on each other, speaking kindly to one another, and mutually doing every good office that lies in their way and in their power. How often are we really like that? Now, some synonyms. This is another way to define kindness. Words that are synonymous for kindness. Gracious. That is kindness from a superior to a subordinate. To be gracious. And that's exactly what God has done for us. He's a superior. We're worms of the dust. He found us in the miry pit of our own making. He found us on the dung heap of our own depravity. He found us as spiritual lepers who could only cry unclean. And yet God showed His kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Another synonym for kindness is to be kind-hearted. An emotional, sympathetic, and affectionate nature. To be kindly. Our manner or general disposition. Now, you know what some antonyms are? You know what an antonym is? It's the exact opposite of the word. If you look this up, antonyms for kindness are cruelty, bitterness, malice, hatred. Interestingly enough, the very things that he says in verse 31 that we are to put away. Everything that is opposed to kindness. Now, God, point number two. God is our chief example of kindness. There are three specific times in the Old Testament where God is said to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Nehemiah 9:17, Joel 2:13, and Jonah 4:2. You think about Jonah. The kindness of God was extended to a people who were most unworthy. They were the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel. They were the Ninevites. They were heathen. They were sworn enemies. And yet God granted that whole city. He sent a preacher that didn't want to go to preach to them. And God granted that whole city repentance and showed kindness. Tell you what, that's an amazing story to me. It really gives me pause to think, you know what, who's to say God wouldn't grant repentance to all of Lawrence County. It's definitely within His realm, His ability. We don't know what God's going to do. God's kindness is exhibited by His long-suffering with His elect people. Look over at Titus chapter 3. In verse 2. He says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Well, I'll tell you what, those two verses describe somebody I don't want to be around. Somebody that I don't want to be. But it's somebody that I definitely was. And don't kid yourselves, folks. You are still capable of the worst acts of depravity. Just because you've been saved for so many years and you attend church, the depravity is strong. You're carrying around a dead, stinking corpse every day that's rotten and filled with sin and malice and hatred. And this is the way we once were. It says we were hateful. You know, that nobody should ever describe you that way. If you're a child of God, nobody should be able to say, you know what, they're a Christian, but boy, they're hateful. That just does not go together. And it certainly ought not to be named among us who say that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Look what God did for us. In spite of what we were, where we were. Verse 4, but after that, after we exhibited all these deeds and acts and dispositions and attitudes of hatred and malice and ungodliness, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, I think one of the flaws of a lot of Sovereign Grace Baptists today is they say they believe the right things. They say they believe in the doctrines of grace. Yet there's little or no application in the way they talk, the way they act, the way they preach. Listen, there's more to it than just the 5 points. I believe that when you understand grace, it'll make you gracious. If you have come to know the kindness of God personally, it's going to affect you. And this is one of the reasons you'll notice a lot of times on Wednesday nights, I deal specifically with
very practical application of biblical truth. Folks, you've got to be sound in doctrine and practice. Not just in a church setting, but in your home, where you work, how you interact with people. Grace has to change you. And if it doesn't, if there's no application of grace, then you know what? You can be right doctrinally all day long, but it's not going to affect the way you live. Our former wickedness is described in verses 2 and 3. In spite of what we were and what we had done, God showed kindness and love to us through Jesus Christ. And you look at these verses. Look at what flows from the kindness of God in salvation. The first thing He establishes is that He showed kindness to you, and it was completely unearned. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. He has saved us. How many times do you show kindness to people simply because it's reciprocal? It is expected. They've showed kindness to you or compassion or something to you, and you feel obligated to show it back. How about if we began to live in such a way that we demonstrate the love of God in Christ by being kind to people who are unworthy of it, who are in the wretched state that we were once in, and show them kindness? Say, what if they take advantage of it? What if they do? You leave that in the hands of God. All you can control is you. How you act. What you do. How you live. You know, God's kindness, He doesn't place an impossible task before us. When He demonstrated the kindness, not of works of righteousness which we have done. What do you think you could possibly do to earn the kindness of God? What could you do? Be baptized? How's that earn the kindness of God? Well, I'll be a good person. There's none good. No, not one. Where? Exactly what list of things do you have to do to earn the kindness of God's salvation? The fact of the matter is, you don't have anything when you're saved. You're bankrupt. And God still shows kindness. And He doesn't say, now I'll continue to be kind to you if you'll be baptized, if you'll follow a certain set of rules that we're going to set up in the church that you belong to. No. Free grace. Not of works of righteousness which we have done. That in and of itself ought to motivate us to live for Him and to demonstrate this attitude of kindness every day to be more like the Lord. These are things that flow from kindness, free grace, regeneration, the implantation of a new nature, the washing of regeneration, the creating of a new nature. And to me, what a demonstration of kindness. God, in giving you a new nature, in performing the new birth, in giving you spiritual life, He is giving you the ability to do something that you have never done and could never do. Think about that. With that new nature now, you have a nature that corresponds with God's holy nature, His divine nature, and now you can have communion with Him. You! That wretched sinner who was hateful, who hated one another. Now you have the capacity, the ability, the grace to love God, to fellowship with God, to bring forth fruits of righteousness for the first time in your life. Justification. Another fruit, if you will, of this kindness. A right and legal standing of acceptance in Christ, freed from the guilt and the penalty of sin, declared righteous before a holy God. This is what flows from the kindness of God in Christ towards sinners. Free grace, regeneration, justification, heirs of eternal life. You're made, you are declared to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ as part of the family of God and a partaker of His glory. All these things flow from our primary example of kindness, Jesus Christ. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. The kindness of God. You remember that sermon I preached? It's one of my favorite sermons. On the kindness of God towards sinners. You know who it was about? Remember that, John? It was Mephibosheth. Oh, what a perfect picture of God's grace. Mephibosheth, he was lame on both of his feet. He had to be carried around. He had no ability to provide for himself, to care for himself. He became lame through the fall of another. That's exactly the way you and I became lame. His nurse dropped him when he was young, and he became lame. And he had nothing. He was poverty stricken. But David had made a covenant with Jonathan to show kindness to his descendants. And David carried that covenant out. And he said, "Is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God toward him?" And they said, "Yeah, there's Mephibosheth. He's lame on his feet." You know what he said? "Go fetch him." That's what God does. The work of the Holy Spirit, He goes to where we are. He fetches us. Brings us to the King's table. Changes our raiment. And takes care of all of our needs. And we eat with the King's sons. Now that's kindness. That's amazing. That picture of grace. Because if you remember, Saul and his descendants were bitter enemies of David. And yet David showed kindness for Jonathan's sake. God shows kindness for Christ's sake in our part as we're saved. Now God's kindness is described in other places in Scripture. Psalm 31:21. "Blessed be the Lord, for He hath showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city." Psalm 117 and verse 2, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us." Psalm 119 and verse 76, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant." It's comforting, this kindness that God shows. And it's eternal and enduring. We'll close with this. Isaiah 54 in verses 8 through 10.
In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. He's talking to a people that had been rebellious many times during their history. And God said, I'm never going to remove my kindness from you. It's everlasting. It's unearned. Now next week, we're going to look at why kindness is so important in our character, in our way of life.
Go to God in prayer, specific prayer tonight.